In today's podcast, I am going to explain to you why cash is not a four-letter word by telling you the story of two Joes. So for a lot of our potential clients, which includes you, which includes our listeners, you may think that cash is a four-letter word, that cash is bad, that wanting money is evil. In this episode, I am going to explain to you why it's not by telling you the story of two Joes. Two clients who I worked with, who I am calling Joe, not their real names, with two drastically different stories, two drastically different outcomes. And in the end, I hope to illustrate to you that money is not evil, love of money is not evil, and that money, cash, earning premium salaries, everything related to it is win, win, win. Stay tuned. Welcome to the People Stack Podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical leader. I'm Jen Funk. I am a career coach and co-CEO of the People Stack, along with my husband, Rob Allen. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the People Stack, please check out our free training at training.thepeoplestack.com. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts that our clients have used to command 300, 400, 500K plus salaries as tech leaders while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. And now, without further ado, please enjoy.
All right, let's dive into this special episode of the People Stack Podcast. From time to time, we will release a second episode. Yes, we do, of the week. So we do shoot to produce and release one episode a week. That is our goal. And then occasionally we will do two, just because there's something that's on my mind, on my heart, on Rob's mind, on Rob's heart that we want to share with you. And by your clicks, by your feedback, by the actions that we know that you're taking and reaching out to us, we know that you find these podcasts valuable. So we're going to give you even more of what you find valuable and what we love doing. So a tale of two Joes. Cash is not a four-letter word. So for some of you, maybe not all of you, but even if this isn't you, I know that you can relate to this. Perhaps this was you in another part of your life, or there's someone in your life who has these beliefs about money or cash. So I absolutely believe that what I am going to be sharing with you today, if you are a technical leader, a current one or a future one, if you are someone who wants to make a massive positive impact on the world through bringing your joy, through living your dream, then I know you're going to get value out of this. So we find that many of our potential clients, and also even our clients, when we start working with them in the beginning, have money beliefs that go something like, I shouldn't earn too much. Too much money is evil. Being wealthy is a sign of evil. Being wealthy is going to lead to bad things, bad behavior, poor choices. That if I make too much money, people are going to see me as a Scrooge, as a miser. So I don't want to make too much money. That there's resistance to sharing how much you earn. So if you have resistance to sharing how much it is that you earn, this may be true for you. You may have some disempowering beliefs about money that are keeping you from earning more. Oh, no, I don't like to share what I earn. No. It's not about the money for me. And so look, what we like to say is somewhat jokingly, but things are funny because they're also at least partially true, is that, look, if you want to make a massive positive impact, and I know that's part of the reason why many of you are listening right now, if you want to make a massive positive impact, I'm sorry, you're going to earn more money. At least if you work with us and if you follow our systems and you follow our guidance. Not just because you deserve it, we deserve it, because that's the way that money flows. Money follows value. And money loves to move in large chunks. Money loves to play like that. You may have noticed that in your life that sometimes larger chunks of money seem to move more easily than smaller chunks. Business owners and coaches and teachers and speakers find this to be true. This is one area where I can give you proof of this, that it's actually harder to sell someone on $100 an hour coaching than it is to sell someone on a high ticket, four-figure, five-figure coaching package. It's the same thing where it's like, hey, man, come here. Like you're walking down the streets of New York or something, like, hey, man, come here. I got this Rolex. I really need to get rid of it. It's 50 bucks. What do you think? And what's the first thing that comes to mind? $50 for a Rolex? That's fake. That's not real. That's not valuable. That's not really valuable to me. $100 an hour coaching, getting paid 50K, 70K, even 100K a year as a technical leader who's making a massive positive impact. There's something wrong. There's something off about that. Versus, hey man, I have this Rolex and I want somebody else to have it. I already have one. So I'm thinking, how about $300, right? Or $300, $400, $500. Oh, okay. Like, then that feels a little bit more in alignment. You might believe that, even though it's still not the actual value of the Rolex, right? So it's like, okay, I know my value is worth way more than 200K, 300K, 500K as a technical leader. Like my value, if I were really to feel into my value, it's priceless. But yeah, 200K, 300K, 400K, that feels better than 75K a year or 100K a year. So, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as you can probably tell, this is a topic I'm very excited about. And I want to tell you the tale of two Joes, to illustrate why commanding a premium salary as a technical leader is actually a win-win-win, and why money is not evil, and why you deserve to earn more as you deliver more value, and it's not selfish to earn more money. So, Joe number one, this is a client. Again, these are not, did we ever have a client named Joe? We may have, but these clients who I'm talking about weren't named Joe. So Joe number one, I worked with years ago. Like when I first started the career coaching business for tech leaders, actually at that point, it was more of a technical leadership consulting and coaching. I was just starting out. And looking to land my first handful of clients to see how it worked, you know, to beta test it, to proof of concept test it. And so this was 7-8 years ago at this point. And so I found Joe. Well, Joe found me. And on the initial call where I asked him what it was that he needed help with, he basically said he needed help with leadership skills. So he needed help with communication and decision-making and influencing. I said, okay, great. I could absolutely help on that. That's 100% in my area of expertise. And I asked him about what his salary goals were. And he brushed it off. He said, oh, I'm not motivated by money. That's not why I want to hire you. Like, it's not about earning more money. It's really about the skills for me. So we don't need to track the money stuff. And so because this was earlier in my career, I still had a ton to learn about being a coach. And I had a ton of expansion to do in my own money journey as well. I left it at that. I didn't push him on it. I didn't call him out on it. I didn't hold his feet to the fire on it. I would now, by the way. But I didn't, I just left it at that. And so we did work together for a little bit. We had a handful of coaching calls together where I did I do believe that I delivered on what he asked for. And I believe that he would say the same thing, right? I gave him some really great strategies and tactics, and we worked on mindset a little bit around how to communicate better, how to make even better decisions, how to inspire people, how to inspire his team. And, you know, that was pretty much that. And I know that for me, I left it feeling like there was something more, right? There was something more beneath it, that while I delivered on what was promised and what we agreed to, it felt like there were so many more layers underneath it. And I have lost touch with Joe A. It does happen with clients. You know, people move on, right? There are many clients who we have kept in touch with, and we love that. But also sometimes it's just people go their own ways. But of course, out of professional and personal curiosity, a few years after I worked with Joe, I looked him up on LinkedIn, and I saw that he was still working at the same company that he admitted to me that he wanted to leave. So there, something felt lacking there. Like, I look back and I say, you know, I don't like playing the should game. Like, I should have done this. I'm not making myself wrong here. But it's like, hey, that's a learning opportunity. Me now, if I in my time machine, then me now would have called him out on the money piece of it. Would have said, all right, I understand that you're not motivated by money. And I would have asked more questions around it. Do you believe you deserve more money? Do you realize that if you make more of an impact, you're gonna make more money? I'm sorry. You know, opening up a conversation like that and seeing if he was open to having a conversation where he can expand into even more empowering money beliefs. And also more empowering beliefs about what he was capable of in his career. And it was this Joe and many other early clients, by the way, that led me to say, I don't want to be just a leadership coach. There are many fabulous leadership coaches out there, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But for me, I wanted to go deeper and have an effect on people's careers and people's lives. So anyway, this is a cautionary tale. Both, it's like, if anyone's at fault here, we're both at fault, although I don't mean to make anybody at fault, right? But it's a cautionary tale. It's like, okay, if you don't go deep on your money beliefs, on your any disempowering beliefs, you're not going to get the outcomes you want. You really want. Did he get the skills upgrades? Maybe. But did it change his life substantially? Not from the looks of his LinkedIn profile. Now, I don't know. Maybe he did get a promotion and he didn't put it on LinkedIn. At the same time, though, my guess is that he didn't. I hope he did, but my guess is that he didn't. And I've had many, many other experiences with clients and coaching other people who are open to coaching, friends, family members, former students, who if you don't address the big things like your money beliefs, you're not actually going to get the outcomes that you want. And so that's why that was like an inflection shift for me, where it's like, okay, I'm going to dive into the uncomfortable conversation about why don't you want to talk about the money piece of it. And it's those uncomfortable conversations that not only lead to skills upgrades, which are good and great, and that's wonderful, but also career and life upgrades, actual outcomes, actual results that you can see in your bank account and feel in your life on a day-to-day basis. So as you can probably guess, Joe number two is not a cautionary tale. It's an inspiring tale. So I worked with Joe number two, again, not his real name, several years later. It was probably several years ago at this point. And he came to me with very clear salary goals. So this is someone who had already done the work of, like, I love money and money loves me and I deserve to earn more and I'm gonna make more of an impact and this is what I want, help me get it.
So Joe, number two, came to me and said, all right, I'm a tech lead at this point. I'm leading a team, but not as a manager. And that's what I want to do. I want to upgrade from being a tech lead, and I love the leadership aspects of it. And within a year, I want to become a software engineering manager. I'm earning 100K now. In a year, I want to be earning 175. I said, all right, came on. I love it. I love the clarity. Let's do it. And so Joe, number two, and I worked together on this. And even though he has very clear salary goals and money beliefs and empowering beliefs, there was room to grow. There is absolutely room to grow. There's always another level. There's always another opportunity to say, well, what's in the way of me becoming a software engineering manager and earning 175K a year? And for Joe number two, not to reveal too many details, client confidentiality is extremely important to me, but we've worked with enough tech lead to software engineering manager kinds of clients that I feel comfortable sharing this, that it's not sacrificing anybody's confidentiality. But for Joe number two, there were money beliefs that needed upgrading. Around, let's just say, it's almost like the opposite of money is evil, right? So money is evil is a disempowering belief. Money is needed for my security is also a disempowering belief. I need money in order to feel secure. Right, is that true? Are you gonna let what's in your bank account determine how secure and safe and certain you feel? So there was work to be done there, in addition to a lot of the other kind of leadership strategy, how do I get a promotion strategy work that we do with all of our clients, right? How to open up how to get clear, even more clear in what you want, how to open up the conversations to get a promotion, how to move those conversations forward, how to negotiate, how to actually land that new job with the upgraded salary. So I worked with Joe number two, and as you're probably not surprised to hear, he did it in almost eerily, in an eerily close way to his actual salary goals. And this is actually pretty common, fairly common for our clients that they set a goal and they hit it or they exceed it. And it's like eerily the same, but better in real life. So he did earn a promotion at the company he was working at. Within a year, it was actually less than that, to being a software engineering manager. He went from about 100K a year to 150K a year, plus about 25K a year in bonuses. And so that's about 175, right? It's like, hey, cool, this is great. And the thing, so of course that felt wonderful for Joe. That was a win situation for Joe. It was also a win situation for his team because he wanted to deliver more value. Like I said, value follows money and money follows value. He became an even better leader, an even better version of himself. He learned, yes, how to inspire more, yes, how to make better decisions, yes, how to think more strategically. And that had such a positive ripple effect on his team that they got Super Joe. They got Superhero Joe. And his team was soaring because of it. So it was a win for Joe. It was a win for his team. And what all of this, like, so just imagine, and you may be there now, or you may have been there before, and I know that you can feel into this, the situation where you have this engineering team led by Super Joe, who's like, let's do this. And it's not all sunshines and rainbows and unicorns. Of course, there's challenges that arise. The challenges are seen as opportunities for growth. And yes, people get mad and angry and worried. And yes, those parts of us sometimes take over. And then we say, hey, who really am I? I'm killing it. And I'm going to go back to my superhero self. Imagine that kind of dynamic. What does that do for the company?
in terms of the overall organizational goals and the larger effect on the company and the company's clients and their ability to make an impact. So what happened with Joe, among other things, just as one example, because of the upgrades in the software and the new innovation that him and his team were able to bring, the company was able to land a brand new client that brought in almost $10 million a year in additional revenue from this one client. So it was huge for the company as well. It's like win, 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 and then win, 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 because win for that client. Wow, they now get access to this amazing technology that they're investing in. So money follows value. When a company, when your organization pays you a premium salary, it's an investment in you. They want to see you win. They see it as an investment, and they want to make sure that their investment pays off. So they are going to be in it to win it, to make sure that they win and you win and your team wins. It's skin in the game. So premium salaries, really, really owning your worth and earning your worth. It's win, 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 win all around. So these are all of the reasons why I believe you should never feel guilty or sorry or apologetic about earning a premium salary. As a tactical leader or as anything else, it's like, shout it from the rooftops. I believe in salary transparency. I believe that your team should know what you're earning. Now, that may be a little bit controversial, especially in organizations where there's definitely not pay equity. But how do we get pay equity? One way that we do that is by being more transparent and to show that this software engineering manager is getting paid 30% more than this software engineering manager. They're doing the same thing. That's not fair. Let me hear you say that ain't right. It's not right. And also, it gives your team something to aspire to. Of course you earn more than your team members do. You deliver substantially more value. You have a substantially more expertise. And it gives them something to shoot for, something to aspire to. So anyway, money is not evil. Love of money is not evil. Yes, be of service. Yes, add value. And yes, attract the money to you and love it and play with it. Money loves to play. Money loves to move in large chunks. And be proud of it. Be proud of the results you're creating, and not just for you, but for everyone around you, for your team, for your organizations, for your clients, for your customers, for your family. Earning a premium salary, earning what you're worth, what is that doing for your family too? It's win, 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 win. I can go on and on and on and on and on. So, TLDR, be like Joe number two. Don't be like Joe number one and Jen, like I was, where you're not exploring your deeper money beliefs. Do not say, oh man, I'm not in it for the money, and not explore it. It's one thing to say, I'm not in it for the money, money isn't what motivates me, and then to explore that. Oh, what do you mean? What is it that motivates you? Why doesn't money motivate you? I'm curious about that. Do you believe money is evil? What are your beliefs about money? Like, explore it. And then after that exploration, if it's, yeah, I'm honestly not motivated by money. Like, I think that's where most of us actually end up. We're not motivated by money. Like, that's not the ultimate motivator for most of us. For some of us, it is, and that's cool too. But don't just leave it at that. Don't just say something like, I'm not motivated by money, and just leave it there. The unexamined life is not worth living. Examine it. And that's what we're here to do
with our clients. That's what we're here to do with you. That's my superpower. I love it, as you could probably tell, even just from listening to these podcasts and from the interviews that we do and the client case studies that we share. So if you're interested in working with us, and you are a badass tech leader who is absolutely committed to being the best tech leader who you can be, and you want to upgrade your career, and you know that includes earning more money, and you're ready to go on that fun, soul-expanding journey, book a call with my team. The link to do that is thepeoplestack.com/book, thepeoplestack.com/book. That's how you start the process of finding out if we're a fit to work together, if you are a fit to become one of our amazing clients. And if it's not a fit, we're still gonna give you amazing value, and we're gonna give you some next steps so that you can get where you wanna go in your career. thepeoplestack.com/book. Cash is not a four-letter word, my friends. Money is not evil. It's your belief about it that is. Examine that and watch the money flow in. Take care. Aloha. Cheers, my friends. And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech leader at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our badass clients, our loyal listeners, every one of you who we've worked with. And I have to give a special shout out to my husband, Rob Allen. He's my co-CEO, the love of my life, PeopleStack Client Zero. And it is such a fun ride, finding new, ridiculously unreasonable levels of prosperity, joy, and fun with him every single day. And a quick thank you to Ketza for creating the catchy, inspiring theme music that we get to use in our podcast. We love each and every one of you. Big, big hugs, aloha, and mahalo.